While Hall examined the old man and the baby, Stone and Levitt remained in the main control room. Stone opened the mechanical hands while Levitt manipulated the microscopic apparatus. Stone positioned the capsule and pressed the appropriate controls. A black box moved down from the ceiling and began to scan the capsule surface. The two men watched the viewer screens. "Start with 5 power," Stone said. Levitt set the controls. They watched as the viewer automatically moved around the capsule, focusing on the surface of the metal. They watched one complete scan, then shifted up to 20 power magnification. A 20 power scan took much longer since the field of view was smaller. They still saw nothing on the surface. No punctures, no indentations, nothing that looked like a small growth of any kind. "Let's go to 100, Stone said. Levitt adjusted the controls and sat back. They were beginning what they knew would be a long and tedious search. Probably they would find nothing. Soon they would examine the interior of the capsule. They might find something there, or they might not. In either case, they would take samples for analysis, plating out the scrapings and swabs onto growth media. 3 scans at 5, 20, and 100 power took them slightly more than 2 hours. At the end of the 3rd scan, Stone said, "I suppose we ought to proceed with the 440 scan as well, but I'm tempted to go directly to a scan of the interior. If we find nothing, we can come back outside and do a 440. "I agree." Then they did a 5-power scan of the interior. They found nothing except a small indentation the size of a pencil point. At Stone's suggestion, when they began the 20-power scan, they started with the indentation. Immediately they saw it. A tiny black fleck of jagged material, no larger than a grain of sand. There seemed to be bits of green mixed in with the black. Neither man reacted, though Levitt later recalled that he was trembling with excitement. "I kept thinking, if this is it, if it's really something new, some brand new form of life." At a higher magnification, it appeared no different from their earlier views, only larger. They could see, however, that it was an irregular piece of material, dull, looking like rock. And they could see there were definitely flecks of green mined on the jagged surface of the material. "What do you make of it?" Stone said. "If that's the object the capsule collided with," Levitt said, "it was either moving with great speed or else it is very heavy, because it's not big enough to knock the satellite out of orbit otherwise, I agree. And yet it did make a very deep indentation. Suggesting..." Stone shrugged. "Suggesting that it was either not responsible for the orbital change or that it has some elastic properties we don't yet know about." At a magnification of 440, the surface irregularities of the rock were striking. It was like a miniature planet with jagged peaks and sharp valleys. "That left border over there." Stone pointed to the screen. "The surface of the stone, if it is a stone, is rough everywhere except on that left border, where it is smooth and rather straight. Like an artificial surface." Stone sighed. "If I keep looking at it, I might start to think so. Let's see those other patches of green." Levitt set the coordinates and focused the viewer. A new image appeared on the screens. This time it was a close-up of one of the green patches. Under high magnification, the borders could be seen clearly. They were not smooth, but slightly notched. They looked almost like a gear from the inside of a watch. "I'll be damned," Levitt said. As they watched, it happened. The green spot turned purple for a fraction of a second, less than the blink of an eye. Then it turned green once more.
"Did you see that?"
"I saw it." "You didn't change the lighting?"
"No, didn't touch it."
And then, as they watched, the spot turned purple and remained purple. The notches disappeared. The spot had enlarged slightly, filling in the V-shaped gaps. It was now a complete circle. It became green once more. "It's growing," Stone said.